Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast. Whether you're a returning listener or a new listener, welcome to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you're on another platform, make sure to follow or like. That would be helpful. Thank you. Today, we're going to be talking about the NFL Combine. Mike and I put together a list of our top 10, and let's get straight into it. Mike, at my number one, this could be kind of surprising for people. I have Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ohio State. 4.38 40, but his broad jump and his vertical were insane for a running back, especially of his size. And then at number two, I have Brady Cook, the quarterback from Missouri. He looked really good on the on-field workout and the drills. Looked like the best quarterback in terms of arm strength and accuracy. Number three, I have Terrence Ferguson, the tight end from Oregon. Going into the combine, I didn't know too much about him, but his bench, his 40, and just his on-field workout was definitely higher than what was expected of him. So I put him at my three spot. Number four is who the Lions are projected to pick in the first round, James Pierce Jr., the edge from Tennessee. I knew of him coming into the combine. Didn't see much of his film, though. I knew who he was, but he overexcelled in the combine. His overall just workout, his 40-yard dash was among the best of edge rushers of all time. So interesting to see how he turns out in the draft. My number five spot is Eugene Asante, the linebacker from Auburn. He's another player that I didn't know too much about going into the combine, but he overexcelled what people were predicting him to do. His 40-yard dash, 4.48, I believe it was. And his overall stats at the combine have him in my five spot. Number six is Robert Longerbeam, the corner from Rutgers. Great last name, by the way. But he overexcelled in terms of what he was projected to do at the combine. He was looking at roughly a third to fourth round pick. His draft stock moved up to mid second round after the combine. So I have him at my number six spot. My number seven spot goes to your guy, Maxwell Hairston, safety from Kentucky. Now, I'm sure you knew about him going into the combine. I didn't, but he was middle of the pack in terms of secondary, in terms of the combine. But based off of what I was seeing, what he was projected going into the combine, I have him on my list because he overexcelled, exceeded all those expectations. And he is looking like a second, maybe third round draft pick. And then on my number eight spot, I have Jihad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama. His last season in college was insane. He was expected to do a lot, but he went under the radar at the combine. Didn't really do too many drills, but he did excel in terms of what he was able to do. So I have him on my number eight spot. My number nine spot is CJ West, D tackle from Indiana. My school being in the Big Ten, I know who he is. He was like a Eugene Asante, like middle of the pack, but he has the fastest 40 time out of a interior defender of all time. So I have to put him on my list for that. And his bench was pretty much expected. But my number 10 spot is going to throw people off because he was projected to be the number one pick pretty much all year. That being Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami. I knew what he was expected to do at the combine. And I feel like he severely underperformed at the combine. His 40-yard dash was not where I was expecting. He was missing throws in the on-field workout. I do feel like he did better than a lot of the prospects, though. So that's why I still have him in my top 10. But I feel like he severely underperformed for what he was expected to do going into the combine, especially because he was rated as the number one overall pick all year, was the best quarterback in college football last year, in my opinion. You can even throw like Dart. You could throw Carson Beck in there. But I think overall he was the best quarterback in college football this past year. And I feel like he was middle of the pack in terms of quarterbacks in the combine.
Yeah, it's a very interesting list, Nick. I will say I definitely have some names that you don't have, but I did them a little differently. I didn't really do necessarily all the performance from the combine. I also took into consideration like names that I didn't really think were, at least that were on my radar at first, and who did really well at the combine. So they made my list, but I didn't put them in any specific order. But I'll just go ahead and name off the names, starting off with number one. You know, my boy Maxwell Harrison. I did like him at Kentucky. He's a lockdown corner. But at the combine, he did very well in terms of 4.28, I believe, on the 40-yard dash. He's a nice outside corner, good with man or zone coverage. But the thing about him, though, that I have a little concern with is him versus a bigger wide receiver like DK Metcalf or Sam Laporta, if that has to happen. But yeah, so Maxwell Harrison, I think he, like you said, second round draft pick, I think he's a solid corner and he can potentially be something really good. The second one I have is Matthew Golden, wide receiver from Texas. Fast guy, Texas, we all know Xavier Worthy. He also had a 4.29 on the 40-yard dash. I mean, his separation and ability to make a highlight play is definitely in something in Golden's game. But a con that people have been saying about him, though, is like lack of effort. If he thinks he's shut down on a play, he's not giving that route his all. Or if his effort in his route running can be lackluster. So it will be interesting to see if Matthew Golden can be something good or if he can turn out to be a diva. So that's a big factor when it comes to the NFL, especially because we see it a lot nowadays. But number three, Nick, I think this is a surprise because I didn't know anything about this guy, and I should know because of the SEC. But that being Nick Emmanuori, safety from South Carolina. Now, I've seen this name on the draft boards, but apparently after this combine, I've seen some people throw him late first round, second round draft pick as a safety, which is crazy. Apparently, he has a lot of speed, versatility. His wingspan is very good. However, when it comes to the run game, apparently he doesn't play with that hawk mentality of get down to the ball, be the first guy in the play. But that's a name that I didn't even see at all, honestly. That was right under my radar, especially with everybody on the defensive side of the ball. So that was a surprise to me. This next one, also, I think you did say him, Nick. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Armand Membu, the offensive lineman from Mizzou. No, you didn't say him. So this guy, offensive lineman from Mizzou, he's 330 pounds, if I'm not mistaken.
I think 333 or something.
Yeah. I was surprised as to how this guy moves for his size. I thought he was going to be a slow guy, but man, he could burst. He could burst for a 330-pound lineman. So I was surprised for his size with how quick his feet are. He can move down the field. Now, however, it's crazy because apparently he's undersized in terms of arm length. So I guess that comes a problem when it comes to edge rushers with him. But I was surprised by that. I didn't really expect Armand, to be honest, being anything to consider because of obviously all of the linemen in the draft already. But the next one, I have is Jahad Campbell from Alabama, linebacker. I think you did say him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yes. Another guy with great speed. He's athletic. He can read and react with, he can read and react instincts, which is very good. He's just a fast qu a linebacker. I personally really like him. I think if the Packers have a chance, maybe, but it would be nice. Number six, I have Darian Porter. He's a corner from Iowa State. Now, reports have been saying he's really good with man coverage, speed. He has good speed and a good burst ability. Now, and also his change of direction too. But however, this guy has only had 1 year of experience, which is crazy as a starter. Nick, I want to ask you about this guy. 1 year of experience. How do you think that affects how teams look at him, especially if he did have a good year at Iowa State this past year?
Yeah, I think it's similar to looking at like Terrion Arnold last year. Terrion Arnold obviously had 1 year starting with Alabama. He came off the bench his previous three. But I feel like teams are going to look at it with a grain of salt because if you're 1 year starter and you had that kind of year, then I don't see it being an issue. I think it's really going to come with experience. We saw, to bring up Terrion Arnold again, we saw a lot of penalties early on from him, and it just took a little bit of time for him to get acclimated to the speed of the game that the NFL has. And I feel like it's going to be the same way.
Okay. Yeah, I could definitely see that. It'll be interesting to see where he lands because I know that's been a name thrown around from Iowa State. This next guy, I'm going to totally butcher his name, but Bashil Tuten, the running back from Virginia Tech. I was surprised by his combine as apparently he's this explosive runner. I've watched some highlight on him. He's really good with cuts and turns. That's obviously important for a running back. He actually did fairly well at the combine. So I'm excited to see where he goes in the draft. I'm not sure exactly where he'll land because his issue at Virginia Tech was ball security. So that's also a big problem. Number eight, I got James Pierce Jr. Did you say him too, Nick?
Yep.
You did. Yeah, edge from Tennessee. He's a fast, powerful, efficient linebacker or edge with his footwork's good. He's good with balance, but however, apparently, he needs to beef up, but I think I was impressed with his combine. Again, the Packers could get an edge. I think I would like this guy. We'll see what the Packers do. Next up, I got a defensive lineman who I didn't really consider at all because obviously the boy's from Michigan, but Walter Nolan, another guy who's impressive. And then my last one was Shamar Stewart, an edge from Texas A&M who's also been on the radar. His numbers don't really compare with others, even though they're relatively the same. But that's my list, Nick. I know we flew by that, but I kind of want to talk further in depth with some names that we agree we didn't don't have on our list, and I'll let you take it away here.
I think one person we definitely agreed upon was James Pierce Jr., the edge from Tennessee. I did see those same reports that he needed to beef up, but I was seeing his NFL comparison, and it was like Micah Parsons. And even Aiden Hutchinson was another comparison that they had him at. That quick, off the ball, can get in your face, very good footwork. And based on what people are saying in terms of like mock drafts, he's going to land on the at the Lions. The Lions are going to trade up in front of the Packers and take James Pierce Jr. That's what certain reports are saying, that they're going to trade up to 21, maybe even 18. So it'd be interesting to see how he factors into the NFL, especially being an edge rusher going up against those offensive linemen. But I think one person that we didn't agree upon was like CJ West, the D tackle from Indiana. And I want to know your feelings factoring into, I guess, not putting him on your list, if you saw something differently than I did.
Yeah, when it came to my list, I was looking at like the obviously we all know CJ West wasn't really a name thrown on the top of the list by any means, but when it came to my list at least, I was just more so doing like, who am I really surprised by in terms of maybe a position wise or this guy, for instance, like I said, Membu, for his size, it was impressive to see him move. Now CJ West, I would have him outside my top 10. But there's a lot of guys in this draft, Nick, that I
Yeah.
think we could all see go in top 10, top 15. If one defensive lineman gets taken, could they go this other guy? So it's like this draft is honestly loaded, and it's pretty hard to make a top 10 list with all these positions because it's really defensive stacked heavy. So I'm not like discrediting your list, and it's not wrong,
Yeah.
but it's just there's just so many names that we could easily throw into the top 10.
And I think we were basing our lists off of different factors too. I was doing more of like
Yeah.
the who really surprised me and who really exceeded the expectations. And you did, like you said, more of the who jumped out at you in terms of one position to any kind of factor, really. Now, Membu is interesting because he's a guard. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they're already predicting him to be like a Penei Sewell, like that quick offensive lineman can get those heavy blocks into people. But obviously, you mentioned his arm length is a little bit too small in terms of an offensive lineman. And who knows if that will affect him in the NFL, especially going up against some of these edge rushers. You look at even putting in like a Quay Walker type of person, naming a couple like Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, with whatever he's going to be doing. Aiden Hutchinson, Za'Darius Smith, like naming a couple people off the top of my head who he could have trouble with in terms of just an edge rusher, even throwing in D tackles, Lee McNeil being a quick D tackle. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he factors into the NFL. And I do want to ask you one thing as well. Who in the combine would you say severely underperformed in terms of what was expected of them?
Ooh, underperformed. Ooh. Yeah, let me, can you say yours? Say yours first, and I'll say mine.
Yeah, Shedeur Sanders.
Want to say I agree with you. I did see that he didn't perform to the standards, but do you think that affects his draft?
I think based off of what I'm seeing as like the top 10, like you can even have people sneak in there. And based off of what other teams are doing, the Giants just signed Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. And it was kind of looking like he might be going there. So I do think that it could affect his draft stock. I don't see him getting outside the top 15, but maybe outside the top 10.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was going to say, if there was somebody else I had to say that underperformed, I don't really know who else really underperformed drastically in the top 10, if there was anybody. Would you say there was anybody else?
I think maybe like an Ashton Jeanty,
Jenty
but
performed, I thought, fairly well.
yeah, but compared to what he was expected, I think I'm not saying he severely underperformed.
Yeah.
He underperformed, but he did excel in other aspects in terms of the combine. But I mean, like a Carson Beck. He was all over the place in terms of the combine. It was not looking good. I think he wasn't really in the top 10 per se in terms of already like mock drafts, but I think his combine severely dropped his draft stock. And even like how he performed late in the season with Georgia, it wasn't looking good. So I think we can even throw Carson Beck in that underperform category.
Yeah, honestly, I can give you another name right now. Speaking of Texas and wide receivers, Isaiah Bond. I thought that I would be talking about him, not, I can't speak right now. But I thought I'd be talking about him more, but I didn't really see anything about him. So I don't know what happened to him, to be honest. Apparently, he just needs more repetitions, but I thought Isaiah Bond would be a lot higher on my list.
I could agree with you on that. I think Isaiah Bond, especially going into the combine, he wasn't a name that was jumping around in terms of people's top 10, but I would have had him in like the top 15, but he just did not perform well at the combine.
Yeah, Nick, I want to kind of spice this up and I want to ask you, is there anybody on your list who, if the Lions needed a specific position, obviously you know their needs, who is somebody that you would be happy with if the Lions took them?
James Pierce. I think
Besides
James
James
Pierce
Pierce.
is. I think, especially with the Lions free agent signing so far, just being secondary, a bunch of secondary players, I would even put maybe like a linebacker, like a Eugene Asante type player.
Yeah.
Maybe even, because I'm seeing rumors that Hendon Hooker is going to be traded. I would even put like a Brady Cook as like a backup quarterback to Jared Goff. So I think any of those players, I think the number one guy on my list was Quinshon Judkins. And I think the Lions already have two of the best running backs in the league already. So I don't think we really need a running back. Even like a Maxwell Harrison in terms of the safety room, because right now in the safety room for the Lions, they really only have Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph, which don't get me wrong, that is the best safety duo in the league by far. But I feel, especially looking at last year, especially with all the injuries, hoping and praying that these guys don't get injured, but I think Harrison could be a solid backup for either of these guys, even putting him at the nickel for Amik Robertson. So it'd be interesting to see. I think really any of those guys in terms of the Lions' needs. And I'll even put that one offensive guard that you were talking about, how he's 330 pounds but fast. Obviously, we saw Kevin Zeitler leaving for the Titans from the Lions. So I think another guy like him could fit the offensive line pretty well in Detroit. So I even pulled one off of your list.
That would suck if Maxwell Harrison was a Lion man. That means I would have to root for the Lions if the Packers did bow out, which would suck. Yeah, I think for the Packers, I think a corner. I hope they're taking first round. I could see them taking a defensive lineman. So we'll see who it is. I hope it's Jahdae Barron if he's still around, or in the second round. I know the Packers are looking at a wide receiver. I don't know if McMillan will be there. Probably not.
McMillan might be tough to get in the
Yeah,
second round.
I'm not sure exactly where he's gonna fall to because there's otherwise I'd take like a Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, maybe. But yeah, I'm hoping the Packers take a corner or defensive lineman in the first round. I think that's their need, most number one need. But this draft is loaded, Nick. I'm super excited for this draft.
I am too. And next episode is going to be a draft simulator where Mike and I are going to try to build the perfect draft. And that might be pretty difficult because I don't think there's any such thing as a perfect draft. But it'd be interesting to see where we place these guys. And based on what I'm seeing, a bunch of trades happening already in the works for the draft. So it'd be interesting to see what we do next episode. But thank you guys for listening to another week of the Gridiron Podcast. If you are a fan of the NFL and enjoy content covering football, then you should consider hitting the subscribe button, because we are here every single Thursday, but in the off season, every other Thursday. And we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and obviously YouTube. Stay tuned to the YouTube Shorts. We're going to be posting a bunch during the off season, especially with some of the free agent signings that have happened over this past week. A lot to cover, but stay tuned to those. Stay tuned to our Twitter. And once again, if there are any Minnesota Vikings or Chicago Bears fans that are interested in doing a NFC North roundtable with us, make sure to let us know on Twitter at GridironPodNFL, or you guys can message us personally on Twitter at Nick T. Pitt and at MSteps_. So yeah, thank you guys for tuning into this week's episode, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.